Well, the title for my split sermon today is Submit to Whom? Now, in my last sermonette, I spoke on submitting to God and how important that is for us on a daily basis as we walk as Christians. Well, today I want to continue this message, this idea of submission. But instead of talking about submitting to God, I want to talk about submitting to one another, to our fellow humans. The Bible many times talks about submission in ways that I had never thought about. And as I was thinking about submission, it really is a concept that goes against the grain of our human nature. And it's by default, I think, that most people look out mainly for themselves, right? It's kind of built in to who we are. It's hard for the human spirit to say, yes, I will put myself under somebody else. I will do as they will. It's not an easy thing to do. We often seek our own will. And yet the need to be submissive in our lives becomes undeniable when we read about it in the Bible. You know, without submission, things quickly fall into chaos as everyone strives to be in charge. Now look at marriages. Look at children. Look at the workplace. Look at the governments of this world. Everyone is striving to bring their own will into fruition. And yet, if we were to step back and look at the whole picture, and we're able to see how people could become submissive, how different would this world, this life, be? I know I've heard people mocking submission as a sign of weakness, but as we go through this message, I really hope that we see that being submissive is actually one of the strongest pillars in our life, and for actually a stable society. And so I want to go through the Bible and look at what it has to say around the parameters of submission. Now, very quickly, I'd like for us to understand this word submission a little bit more. The English word submit comes from a Latin root, which means to let down, to reduce, or yield. It kind of pictures like kneeling before a superior. Our modern English language hints at those roots as well. To have submission, to have a secondary mission, means to yield to a greater mission. The New Testament Greek word used for submission is hupotasso. I should really learn Greek. I mean, such great words, hupotasso. I just want to walk around saying hupotasso all the time. But it means to put under, to arrange under. And it's a military word that refers to lower-ranking soldiers arranging themselves under the order of higher officers. So submission comes from an acknowledgement of proper order and authority. As I mentioned in my sermonette last week, our submission begins, of course, with submitting to God. The first and the foremost thing that we have to realize. And so I'd just like to use one scripture to quickly highlight that again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Another way to say this is bringing every thought into submission. Our thoughts are the basis of who we are. And once we start to bring ourselves into submission, our minds into submission to God and to Christ, we will, and our actions will become more and more like them. We will grow in obedience because we are actively working to submit ourselves to God. And while this is obviously the most important thing for us, it cannot stop there. Now, Christians are told to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Turning to Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 15. Ephesians 5 and beginning in verse 15 says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." We are told that we have to become wise, to understand what the will of God is. It's pretty simple when you start reading the Bible, what God's will is for us. As it points out here, at the very end, we have to be willing, as Christians, to come before our fellow brothers and sisters and to learn how to be submitting to each other, not trying to lord it over each other, not trying to seek our own will, but trying to find that unity and that peace, that bond, so that we can all grow together. You know, when we submit to one another in the fear of God, there's an interplay between us submitting to one another and submitting to God. It goes hand in hand. When we also do this properly, it prevents selfish pride from forming in our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1. Philippians 2 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Do you know how much of a challenge that is, to esteem other people more than yourself? That is a lifelong pursuit. Continuing in verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." If our purpose on this earth as Christians at this time is to do the will of God, then submitting to someone else becomes an act of trust in God. And we naturally look out for our own best interests. But if we trust God to take care of us, then we are free to help start taking care of others. And it works in all areas of our lives. And so I just wanted to go now through a couple areas in our lives where a lot of us live and work. One of the first points I have here is submission in marriage. And turning to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, we'll read to through 33. Ephesians 5 and beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. But you can just hear the world having an issue with this one. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, you see, it's not just a one-way street. Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and the wife see that she respects her husband. Time and again, the Bible talks about respect and love and submission as going hand in hand, because you cannot have one without the other. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1, Peter says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, meaning if their husbands are not in the church, not called, even if they do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. When I read this scripture, it really is powerful when we think about it. If we are not submitting to one another, and you don't just have to be in a marriage. It says your prayers can be hindered before God. It's a scary thing to think about. I think we're in verse 8 here. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, Love as brothers and be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We are bound together to submit as much as possible. The amount of love, respect, and patience that it takes to do this on both ends in a marriage is tremendous. But as we read in Ephesians, Christ is loving and cherishing the church. You know, it seems at times that we are all going through extremely serious amounts of trials and stress. But if we learn to submit in these, we can come to see that these trials are for our growth. And that's where each of us help to hold each other up in prayer, in talking with one another, in writing letters, emails, whatever it may be. It's so important. My next point is, children submit. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter talks to young people, young children, young adults. And he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You're showing humility has to be taught at a young age. Being courteous and respectful to all people, especially those who are older than you, is expected by God. You know, it always sticks out to me in my mind that God's fifth commandment, the first one after the four that are designed to show honor and respect and submission to him, is for children to show honor and respect to their parents. We are all children at some point in time to parents, each and every one of us. And it's so important for us to show this proper respect to our parents that God put it as his fifth commandment for us, to show us how important it is to him. Reading from Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that you may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It's so important for our children to understand this, to think about this as they go through their days. But it's even the greater responsibility for the parents to train and raise their children up in this way, to teach their children about obedience, about honor, about how a family structure works and how it looks like. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, we read Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training involves a lot of failures. It involves a lot of picking your kids up, loving them unconditionally, and then helping them to understand how to get back on the path. You know, the Bible tells us that the righteous man, a righteous man, stumbles 7 times, and yet he picks himself back up again. So why shouldn't our children fail? You know, in fact, if we help them and allow them to make choices, obviously within reason, then when they fail, we should be there to help them and to pick them up. To show them that it takes courage, it takes tenacity to keep pushing on, even when you fail. And this is what is important and what should be taught to our children. And we cannot expect them to be perfect. Childhood is far from that. Especially when we think about our own selves and realize how far from perfection we each are. Encouragement, love, mercy, kindness, gentleness. Essentially, if we lead our families with the fruits of the Spirit in mind, we will show our children what it means to be Christians. How many times have we heard that actions speak louder than words? And so we have to, as parents, constantly be ready to act in this manner. If we want our children to be submissive, and we want them to have good, long lives, we have to lead them. We have to show them what it means. And we ourselves have to be the ones learning how to do this properly. In Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23 provides our constant checklist. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Work. We all work. We all are in service to employers. That's how we make our money. And so this idea of submission also fits into this framework and work. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, it says that we should obey our masters just as we would obey Christ, and we are to do it wholeheartedly. So beginning in verse 5, Ephesians 6, it says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh, with fear and with trembling. In sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." Everything that I've talked about so far really comes back. It comes back to being into submission to God in one way or another. It all ties back into each other. So, when we are working, we must be extremely careful that we are working to bring ourselves under submission to God as if we are working for God. Because in a way, we actually are. The next and last point I have is authority. Now, in our booklet, Obeying God Rather Than Man, I'd like to just quote one little portion towards the end of chapter 2. It states, "In short, our submission to governing authorities does not mean uncritical obedience, as our highest authority is God. Laws that are contrary to the letter and to the spirit of the law of God must not be obeyed. But in such situations, we must be willing to accept the consequences of our actions without resorting to violent civil disobedience." It is critically important for us as Christians to understand the difference and how to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of God. And if we do not know at some certain point in time, then we need to go before Him. We need to ask Him. We need to study. We need to meditate and think about these things, talk to the ministry, until we do know. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I just realized that Peter actually had a lot to say about being submissive. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13 says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king is supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." This world is wicked. It's evil. It's terrible. There are so many wrong things out there. The rules at this time, it's quite maddening at times. So frustrating and stupid when you really think about how things are run. But brethren, we must remember that we are ambassadors for God. While we live here, this is not our home. We work here. We do our time here. We have our families here. But at the end of the day, we must remember that God is the one in charge, and we are but His emissaries. The early church leaders didn't take up arms to defend themselves, but rather they submitted to going to jail, being beaten, being told to stop preaching. But they were consistent in their actions. And in Acts 5 and verse 29, it says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" They appealed to God as their higher authority. And they continued to preach openly, even though it led to persecution. You know, in some cases, God brought about miraculous deliverances for them. In other circumstances, God allowed martyrdom. But in all of the cases, they rejoice because they were counted worthy for suffering for God. In Acts 5 and verse 41, it says, "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Some of us may have to go through things like this in the time that comes. We must understand where we must submit to this world and where we have to draw that line and submit to only God. This really, I'm sure there's more areas that could be covered under submission, but this is what I wanted to cover today. Submission must become a part of who we are, down in our very core. Willing to lay aside our own wants and desires for what is better for others. Now, the idea of submission is embodied by Christ's statement in Matthew 22, and starting in verse 34, and he was talking to the Pharisees. He says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind.'" In other words, submit to God. Everything that is in you, submit to God. That's the only way you can truly, fully love God. In verse 39, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Do we see the connection between obeying God's laws, the Ten Commandments, loving each other, the work that we do, our families that we have, and how we must submit to God in all of it? When we begin to more fully submit in our lives to God, to those around us, it'll get easier. Things in your life will become a little bit more peaceful. I've really been, as I was writing this message and starting from the one I gave last week, I've been thinking a lot about this and trying to embody it as I go through my daily life. And I have to tell you that it's true. Try it. See what happens. That's the great thing about God, I think, is the ability that he gives us to try things. To see, to prove for ourselves what is true. Just because I say it, I'm up here telling you that you should think about this, that you should try it. It's up to you as an individual to see and to see what happens in your life when you put these things into practice. Give it a try. If it doesn't work, great, move on. But the proof is in the Bible. It's in God's word, what he tells us. It's what's going to happen in the future in the kingdom of God. Hopefully, we can all learn to be a little bit more submissive.